What's up, rockers, emos, pop punks, new metal survivors, and everyone who has ever personally been victimized by low-rise jeans? Welcome back to the Rock Pod, where we're all killer, no filler. And today, we're diving straight into the mosh pit of the new millennium. Yeah, we're talking about the top 10 bands of the 2000s. That's right, the decade that gave us MySpace, flip phones, Von Dutch hats, Livestrong bracelets, and the wildest mix of rock genres since the 70s. Garage rock revival, emo explosion, pop punk domination, radio rock supremacy, metalcore mayhem, and yes, the new metal hangover. Strap in. Hydrate, stretch your neck, because we're about to revisit the decade that shaped an entire generation of rock fans. Welcome to the Rock Pod. All right, here we go. We're going to break down the top 10 bands of the 2000s. The groups that defined the sound of the new millennium, reshaped the charts, and gave us some of the most iconic songs of the last 25 years. Coming in at number 10, The White Stripes. Rock needed a cold shower after the bloated 90s. Enter Jack and Meg White. Detroit garage rock minimalists with two colors, two instruments, and zero patience for nonsense. Jack is guitar-wielding mad scientist. Meg, the most debated drummer of the 2000s. Was she good? Was she bad? Did it matter? Answer, no. Because she was perfect for Jack's weird vision. A little bit of backstory. Jack and Meg pretended to be siblings, even though they were actually divorced. Why? Jack said it made the band more mythological. Translation? We didn't want the media up in our business while we reinvented rock with two power chords and a peppermint candy palette. They cracked open the garage rock revival and gave the decade its sporting event anthem. Seven Nation Army, still undefeated. Coming in at number 9, Kings of Leon. Three brothers and one cousin. Raised Pentecostal, toured as a family gospel act, then rebelled into cigarettes, booze, and rock and roll, like if the Partridge Family joined the Strokes. Early tours were rough. Caleb's stage banter, nearly unintelligible due to anxiety, and maybe bourbon. The band once had to pause a show because pigeons were pooping on them. Truly an inspirational arc. By 2008-2010, these guys owned radio, Sex on Fire, Use Somebody, became unavoidable. Some would say overplayed. Others would say, play it again. Rock Pod. Storming in at number 8, Muse. It's like if Britain said, what if we took Radiohead, Queen, and Space Lasers and made one band? Muse said, bet. Matt Bellamy, alien Shakespeare on guitar and piano. Chris and Dom holding down the rhythm while Matt tries to peel paint off venues with his falsetto. Matt Bellamy grew up in a very musical and very chaotic household. His dad was the guitarist for the Tornadoes. Yeah, Telstar. And young Matt spent years learning to out-odd his father. Muse once got banned from a UK venue for blowing up too many things. Pyro budget? Yes. No band made rock feel more like a sci-fi opera in the 2000s than Muse. Rock Pod. Coming in at number 7, My Chemical Romance. Now, I know this seems like a weird pick, but stay with me. Gerard Way watched 9/11 from a ferry and decided life was too short not to start a band. And boom, My Chemical Romance was born with a mission: make rock theatrical again. Gerard struggled heavily with alcoholism and depression. Frank Iero puked before nearly every show. And Mikey had his European meltdown era. But the band transformed their chaos into the most iconic emo anthems ever written. They elevated emo from a subculture to a cultural movement. Black Parade equals the Bohemian Rhapsody of the 2000s. Rock. Coming in at number six, System of a Down. Nobody, and I mean nobody, sounds like System of a Down. Serge, the political poet. Darren, hyperactive riff goblin. Chavo, the beard and bass thunder. John, drum machine precision with human rage. Every member is an Armenian American, and their activism wasn't a gimmick. They grew up with family stories of genocide survivors. Darren and Serge met in a rehearsal room hallway after realizing they were both booking time under different band names. Serge said, "Well, want to start a band?" History said, "Hell yes." From Chop Suey to Toxicity, they made metal, mainstream, and weird again. Bless them. Coming in at number five, The Killers. Vegas kids dress like British rock stars and somehow become American royalty. Brandon Flowers worked at a Vegas golf shop when he heard Oasis, Definitely Maybe, and decided, yeah, that's my future job now. Early on, the band almost broke up because Brandon kept forcing them to dress fancy. Their bassist once walked off stage mid-show because he thought he saw a ghost. Vegas is wild. Mr. Brightside has been charting every single week for over a decade. It might outlive us all. Rock Pod. Coming in at number four, Coldplay. Yeah, they're softer than a Build-A-Bear. But yes, they also shredded the 2000s charts. Chris Martin and three college buddies and a piano equals world domination. Their debut album, Parachutes, basically turned melancholy into a sport. Coldplay banned themselves from endorsing products, including Guitar Hero, because Chris didn't want his art commercialized. But they do sell $90 tote bags. Rock and roll, baby. Whether you love them or pretend not to, they defined the 2000s soft rock landscape. Coming in at number three, Green Day. Though technically a 90s band, but 2004's American Idiot was so massive, it deserves its own decade. Billy Joe Armstrong, Mike Dirnt, Trey Cool, three dudes who stayed punk long enough to become stadium kings. Billy Joe wrote American Idiot after someone stole the master tapes to an entire unreleased Green Day album. Instead of re-recording it, they said, screw it, new album. And to the thief that stole the album, we say thank you. They became the voice of political rock for an entire generation. Rock Pod. Coming in at number two, Linkin Park. Hybrid Theory changed everything. Mike Shinoda, rapper, producer, art director. Chester Bennington, one of the greatest rock vocalists ever, period. Together, man, they're untouchable. The label originally hated Chester screaming. They wanted softer stuff. Chester said, "How about I scream more and you shut up?" History sided with Chester. From nu metal to alt rock to electronic experimentation, they evolved every album. Chester's death in 2017 remains one of rock's deepest wounds. And coming in at number one, the Foo Fighters, the house band of planet Earth. Dave Grohl started Foo Fighters alone, literally recorded every instrument on the debut album by himself. Then he built one of the strongest rock outfits of all time. The band's original drummer left because Dave recorded over him repeatedly. Dave apologized years later, but in Dave Grohl fashion, probably baked him some cookies or something. Why are they number one? Because in the 2000s, the Foos were everywhere. Stadiums, award shows, MTV, your aunt's minivan, every sporting event in the continental U.S. And they delivered hit after hit after hit with zero burnout. That's why. So there you have it. The top 10 bands of the 2000s, according to the Rock Pod. A decade of eyeliner, skinny jeans, white belts, garage rock, emo anthems, new metal therapy sessions, Vegas glam, British melancholy, and one very determined ex-Nirvana drummer. If you love this episode, make sure to smash that follow button like it's 2003 and your MySpace top 8 depends on it. Check out therockpod.com for episodes, merch, polls, and giveaways. And remember, we're all killer, no filler. We'll see you next time, rockers. Oh, and if you have differing opinions, well, shoot, email me, therockpodus@gmail.com, or visit the website, therockpod.com. Laters. If you like today's episode, smash that like button. Also, be sure to follow The Rock Pod so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes, and be sure to tell your friends about us. Want to show your support for The Rock Pod? Hit that donate button and buy us a cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. Research for this episode by me and GPT. Music by the band Silvertrip.